What's up, everybody? It is Wednesday night, 11/11/2020. I am back once again. Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony, as always. And I got to tell you, I was kind of disappointed in both NXT and AEW tonight. Not that the overall shows weren't bad. But when we get into the review, I don't know if people realized how few matches they got on AEW Dynamite tonight. I mean, I kid you not. If you go back, and I'm going through my notes that I took very, very quickly, maybe chat room. I can't just say chat because there's some of you that use, you know, on your screen name, the word chat in it. But for my live chat right now, let me know if I'm missing any matches tonight from AEW Dynamite. But, and you want to know something, if you go back and you look at my preview for tonight, let's get this out. There we go. Look in the lower left-hand corner. You see what match was supposed to go down tonight? And I actually was looking forward to that because AEW Dynamite is going to start getting an influx of a couple of more tag teams that have been featured on Dark. Top Flight is one of them. But that match did not air tonight. Yes, it is going to air next week. But the matches that I got tonight was Brian Cage versus Matt Sydal. You had the Bunkhouse match. You had Shawn Spears versus Scorpio Sky. Ty Conti versus Red Velvet, and Rey Fénix versus Pentagon Jr. Am I leaving any matches out? You know, it felt like it was really lacking. And look, we just had Full Gear. That pay-per-view kicked ass. I gave it a 9.5 out of 10. And yes, we're in COVID, so I do weigh that in as well. If this was a non-COVID era and that pay-per-view would have went down, I probably would have scored it maybe an 8.5, maybe a 9. But no, Joey Dollar says that's all the matches tonight. You know, a lot of vignettes. And I've pointed that out every week, especially with NXT. My God, when you really take a step back and count how many vignettes and interview segments WWE is doing, especially with NXT, it's sometimes pretty mind-boggling. Now, you go on the NXT side tonight, and let me read you, I'm not getting into match results yet. I just want to get into what matches went down. We had Leon Ruff versus Johnny Gargano. We had Santos Escobar versus Jake Atlas. Tony Storm versus Candice LeRae. Timothy Thatcher versus Dexter Lumis, and the main event, which was Breezango versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Let's be honest. Seriously. Putting the Lucha Bros aside for a minute. If you had an indie event, that was advertising all of the matches that you saw tonight for both shows combined. Now, if the indie card is 5 minutes from your house, 15 minutes from your house, I'm sure you would probably go. But if it was an hour away, and I told you tonight those matches were going to be on the indie card, how many of you would actually go? I don't know if I would go. I mean, this really, and I was going to write something on Twitter earlier today, but I don't want to be one of those Debbie Downers, you know, those bitter bitches online just looking for tweet fucks. But, you know, I was looking at the card and I'm like, you know, with the exception of the Lucha Bros and, you know, Top Flight versus the Young Bucks, I'm not feeling tonight. You know, the Inner Circle induction, you know, we see where that storyline is going. And by the way, do I get a little credit? Not only with the Sammy Guevara stuff that's going down and the tension with him and MJF that's going to boil to a head, but what about what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks? That not only, how many times do I say it? Not only is Kenny Omega looking to be the champion, but he's looking to be ranked #1 in the world for next year, 2021. How many times I say it on the show? I think he's looking to reclaim his number one spot. I know PWI is more fluff, but it's still bragging rights. And sure enough, we got that promo tonight of Kenny Omega, not only talking about winning the belt. And by the way, oh, I got tons of pictures tonight. Hopefully I get into all of them. Hopefully we don't have any snags. But here is one match you could mark down on the calendar. John Moxley versus Kenny Omega. I know what you're all going to say. Why are you doing it on TV? Save it for the pay-per-view. That's money. Of course it's money. The pay-per-view is not till February, what, 27th? It's 3 months from now. You got to give fans a little bit of a teaser. You got to hook them a little bit. So I don't think Moxley versus Omega is a one-off. This will lead to something bigger and better. But so that's, look, I know one fall, he's saying, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? You know, I think back to Bayley versus Sasha Banks. When Bayley first turned heel on Sasha, they announced that they were going to have a match on TV. I remember all these goofs in website and podcast land saying, why are they doing it on TV? It's just good. You got to save it for pay-per-view and this is that. And I said, it's going to end in a clusterfuck. There's not going to be a finish. Now, AEW is not as much in the clusterfuck department, so I'm not going to say that's going to be the same thing. But this is to start a bigger picture. And by the way, the pull apart tonight with Eddie Kingston and Pac, not buying it yet. Because if you go back and you look, unless maybe I just turned away for a second, I thought I heard somebody farting in the other room, and I don't have anybody in my house right now. Unless I turned away for a second and didn't see it, I don't think Pac and Eddie Kingston actually touched each other. You know, yeah, they were doing the pull apart and everybody was pulling apart. I wouldn't buy yet. And look, I might be reading too much into it, but they didn't even touch each other. So this idea that Pac is coming out as a babyface, now I'll be honest with you, I have nothing against the Blade whatsoever. But you would think you do the pull apart with Eddie Kingston and Pac a little bit earlier in the night. So this way, since the Blade is part of Eddie Kingston's crew, later on, Tony Khan has announced that the Blade, who is part of Eddie Kingston, is going to take on Pac next week and make it feel like it ties together. When they showed that match in the lower left-hand corner on the screen, I was like, what a fart, man. That smelled stanky. It's stanky. By the way, and I know we're going to jump back and forth tonight because, quite honestly, everyone, tonight's show, I am making sure that we get it done in 90 minutes. Three shows in a row, I finished it under 2 hours. Sleeping a little bit extra actually is making me even more energized. You think the haters, you know, like, you know, really amp me up to give them a literal F you? All of your support does it as well. But I'll be honest with you, getting an extra hour or two sleep every night is actually pretty damn good. My body needs it. I'm no spring chicken no more. So, we'll get to that. Lion, we'll get to that. And, no, crazy cruiserweight. You're not stealing my thunder. Well, you super chatted, so you could steal my thunder. You know, like minds think alike. You know, tonight, I've said this for years and years and years on all my other shows. I don't never watch Jersey Shore, never watch the Kardashians, I never watch Total Bellas, I never watch Total Divas, I don't watch the Real Housewives of Atlanta, you know. And tonight, even though I've never watched the Real Housewives of whatever, tonight I felt like we got an episode of the Real Housewives of Jacksonville. Jacksonville, the Real Housewives of Jacksonville. I mean, how funny is that, man? That segment that went down, I tell you, people are pounding on this, just totally saying it was terrible. It's You have to understand that the people who work behind the scenes in AEW that is making the machine work, they're going to get more time and opportunity than others. It's their business. They may not own it. So when you see Brandy being featured in 2-3 segments, it shouldn't be a surprise anymore. When who that is jumping off the top of a ladder like Jeff Hardy. I mean, you know, it was a nice elbow and everything, but it's still QT Marshall. The fuck calls himself QT at 40 years old? I'm QT. QT Marshall. But this tonight, I honestly didn't have a problem with it, with the exception of one thing. When you had Brandy getting in her face, and for those that don't know who she is, I will tell you her name. I will show you a couple of pictures. And a little reminder for some of you out there who claim to watch AEW every week. The only problem I had with that segment was when Brandy started getting all Real Housewives, you know, in this segment. She's like, yo, bitch, you don't do this, bitch. You better get to stepping. And Brandy stepped. Just go back and watch it. Bitch, you better go stepping. And Brandy turns around. So when she got slapped in the ass, yeah, I thought she deserved it. Shaq? I'd rather see Shaq fight the general, seriously, than I want to see Cody. Shaq, God bless him. I have no problem with Shaq whatsoever. I mean, you know, he's a wrestling fan. But I have seen Shaq lately, and yes, he could still shoot hoops. And as I see that Shaq stuff he does, I don't know what him versus Cody would look like in a ring. I don't know what that is. I mean, I'm a little, you know what it feels like? It feels like that Tony Khan was hell-bent on having a celebrity interact with an AEW wrestler. And because Mike Tyson went to boxing against Roy Jones Jr., all right, now we need a different celebrity. We can't have it do with Jericho. Jericho would kind of turn into babyface, sort of. They're doing the whole Inner Circle MJF stuff. So we really can't use Jericho right now. Oh, Cody. All right, Cody. Now, let me ask you something. For everybody out there that's been loyal to me and have checked out most of my 59 episodes of Wednesday Night Dynamite so far, if I had a dollar for every time I said that stipulation that Cody did about never fighting for the title again was one of the dumbest decisions that they did, but I also said they are going to turn it into a storyline and they are going to change it. If I had a dollar for every time I've said that over the last year, I'd be able to buy myself a Starbucks latte. Did you see the little seed planted tonight by Cody? He wants to get that win back from MJF. That stipulation is being lifted because AEW ain't stupid. They know Cody versus Omega down the line is money. They know Cody versus Moxley is money. They know Cody versus a lot of other people for titles is money. So tonight, they planted the fucking seed. And I am happy about it. I am happy. This idea that Cody is like, you know, we will never go back on our stipulations. We will never go back on our storylines. You know, remember what I did at Full Gear? Remember his nose? You know, I think you're all stupendous. You're good people. He lied. I'm only going to use Rhodes. I'm only going to use it when I do third-party stuff. If I had a dollar for every time they said Rhodes on Saturday, I'd be able to buy 2 lattes. Remember that? For people that didn't see the recap. You know that Geico commercial with Pinocchio? What did the Pinocchio say?
You have potential. You have potential. I look at this room and I see nothing but potential.
Did you ever see that commercial? That's Cody. Cody Yokio. That's it. Not Cody Christ. Cody Yokio. Cody Okio. I didn't realize that we had the ghetto housewives of Jacksonville. Nothing against the person. I call all the Real Housewives ones the ghetto. New York, New Jersey, Atlanta, Georgia, that's the same. But no, I didn't realize you didn't see the picture. But the people I didn't see my recap Saturday, you know, we were doing a spoof of the Geico commercial. Because when Cody said to everyone, hey, I got the Rhodes name back, but I'm only going to use it for third parties, it was like Pinocchio. And he's like the Geico commercial, Cody Okio.
You have potential. You have potential. I look at this room and I see nothing but potential.
It's hot in here. I'm having a good night, I tell you. For two average shows. I don't even understand why Tony Khan told the live crowd at the beginning of the show, everybody, stay till the very end. You will absolutely love it. You know, I know Pac at the end is a nice surprise and everything, but, you know, there's people there with camera phones. And when you're telling everyone, hey, make sure you stay to the end. It's going to be unbelievable. This, that. I don't know, kind of a little tacky on my part. Yeah, that sounds a little bit like Paul Bearer as well. I used to do a great Paul Bearer impersonation. I can't do it no more. I would have to practice it first. And by the way, I didn't forget about the Aflac thing. I'm going to try to do it tomorrow. Today, the weather was shitty. I felt under the weather all day. It's raining out right now. I'm a little surprised the internet is working. Hell, I'm surprised YouTube is working. YouTube was down tonight, and people were having, like, meltdowns. And, you know, people like, hey, DT, what's going to happen if YouTube's not working? I'm like, no problem. I'll go on Twitch. I'll stream it on Discord. You know, so if that ever happens again and where some of you are worried about not getting the live show, just go check out my Twitter at Don Tony D, and I'll always put a little announcements there and stuff. But like I said, I have a lot of pictures to share with you tonight. But you know what? Let's just nip this in the bud now for everybody that doesn't know who she is. No, I will take the picture right down. But her name is Jade Cargill. I want to make sure I get it right. People have actually talked about her in AEW for the last couple of months. It's just that some of you out there just didn't pay attention to it. She is big time into fitness. She is a former basketball player, and she is really working her ass off to actually make it in the ring as a wrestler. If you would like to see two pictures of Jade, one with her natural hair and hair color, and then one basically of what you saw tonight, that is what Jade looks like. I don't think anybody's complaining. Well, the goofs online that, you know, too embarrassed to show themselves, you know. They'll find something wrong with it. Oh, that, excuse me. Oh, I know, that bikini, that's a tribute to Jimmy Snuka, and Jimmy Snuka is a murderer, and that is disgusting. That's the only thing they could come up with. Here's another picture for all of you out there. Pretty impressive. So, I'm not going to lie. I have no idea. Yeah, I guess she deserves a look one more time, right? One more time. Bitch, you better be stepping, bitch. Bitch, you better be stepping. I didn't think the segment was all that bad. But when Shaq was the payoff, I tell you the truth, I'd rather see her with Brian Cage and Team Taz. Seriously, I'm not kidding. I'd rather see her in Team Taz's camp, put a woman in that camp. You know, Ricky Starks is starting to find his groove, cutting promos. Still very, very new to AEW. And a lot of fans are not used to seeing Ricky Starks, even when he was doing work in NWA. So Taz is the leader with the mic. But little by little, they're giving more mic time to Ricky Starks, and Taz is taking a little step back. I don't know if people are paying attention to that. But, you know, the whole thing with Shaq, that was the only issue I had with it. You know, like, I mean, I have an open mind for almost everything. Everything except calamari. I won't ever eat out calamari. Never touch it. But, you know, I'm open to almost anything. Oh, and multiple partners in relationships. I'm not into that either. I could fantasize and go on Pornhub for that, but real life, I don't do that. But, you know, look, you know, if they think they can make something work with Cody and Shaq, all right, I'll give it a shot. Hopefully it's just a one-off. So anyway, one last time, that is Jade. And that is Jade. Bitch, you better be stepping, bitch. Anyway, we're going to talk tonight. Tonight's show is going to be about three things. AEW Dynamite recap, NXT recap, and we're going to talk about the AEW video games. I'm going to let all of you in the chat right now, majority rules, which would you like for me to discuss first right now? You can write NXT, AEW, or games. And, well, you know, there's like 8-second delay. Oh, by the way, Finn Balor, it's 5 weeks already since Finn Balor had that match against Kyle O'Reilly. They announced tonight that he will be back on NXT next week to address his injury. It's 6 fucking weeks already. Didn't I tell you all? Almost six weeks ago, that this ain't something that he could heal in 2 to 3 weeks. I like Finn Balor. I think he represents NXT as the champion just fine. But not for nothing. This guy's going to show up next week. It'll now be 6 weeks next week. And then if he gets into a pull apart or something with someone else, they're going to hype that up for a couple of weeks. This guy ain't going to be defending his title until 8, 9, 10 weeks in. You see how they have, now granted, Karrion Kross, it ends up, he's going to be gone for more than 10 weeks when you look back at the date of his injury. But, you know, the way NXT handles themselves, and they leave the belt on Balor. Now, some of you out there, I'm sure, is perfectly fine with that. The only reason why I'm not fine with that is what I said 6 weeks ago. I told everybody 6 weeks ago, the clips are online, you could go see it for yourself. I said, if they keep that belt on Balor for at least a month, that's them pretty much saying, we don't fucking have a clue who could be the next champion. When Damian Priest lost the title to Gargano, I said, okay, maybe something is going to brew in the very near future. Maybe Damian Priest gets an opportunity. If you follow me with the breakdown with the quarter hour ratings every week, it's almost mind-boggling. I mean, some people I kind of feel bad for that they get big-time viewership drops, and I feel bad for others that they get no spike whatsoever. But there's a few, and Damian Priest is one, that I just look at and I'm like, I don't fucking understand why fans are not connecting with this guy. You know, you got a core group of people, but this guy is not tearing the house down with the ratings. And the Ember Moon experiment, with all due respect, I mean, if you follow what I have pointed out with the ratings with Ember Moon since she's been in NXT, Ember Moon has not done anything wrong. Ember Moon has actually done a pretty damn good job since she's returned. But unfortunately, hyping up videos for, even though it's only 1 or 2 weeks, driving 250 miles an hour on a highway and then revealing yourself, I mean, that's not going to suddenly be a big ratings draw. You go back and you watch that vignette. You know, Ember Moon, other than changing her hairstyle and a little bit of her garb, does it feel like there was a character change? So it was a fun little storyline reveal. And then after the fact, Ember Moon is just fitting in like everybody else. And that's a shame. So Finn Balor next week, I want to see what happens. Because if they do the confrontation crap with Balor, that is going to take a couple of weeks to set up. And even if they hype up a match in a week or two, probably would end in a bullshit finish. You know, this guy, that surgery is very serious. And, you know, look, when Triple H had his quad injury, and I'm just thinking of him because I saw him tonight, and I got a picture tonight that you all want to see. But when Triple H had the quad injury, you know, he worked out like a maniac to expedite rebuilding and regaining the strength in his legs and his other parts of his body as well. And that guy was able to return much sooner. John Cena is another one. There's a lot of people who can return sooner. But unfortunately, when it comes to broken bones, let alone broken jaw bones, and you have to have surgery over it, there is no miracle bone glue. You know what I mean? Like, there is cement, because anybody knows about my father with his accident a little over a year ago, you know, they want to put cement in his spine. And he elected not to do it because he was very afraid, because it is a very risky surgery. So my father's walking around with two crushed vertebrae in his back and part of his neck. But there's no magic bone glue. You know, like I seen on TV that Finn Balor could get this magic potion and the bones are strong. No, it's not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen. So, oh, Garth, thank you very much. By the way, some of you have been asking me, hey, where do you get the shirts? I've said before that you could get some of them on Amazon, but I'm going to give you a little secret that I know about 99% of you out there do not know about this website. But there is a website out there called $6shirts.com. And they have, you know, this, don't expect like all unbelievable graphics. But you go on there, if you buy 10 shirts, they're only $5 a piece. And I think there's the shipping is very reasonable. They have shirts for $9, they have shirts for $6, $12, but for the most part, $6shirts.com. You could get 10 shirts like this for about $50 total. On Amazon, you could pay up to $25 for this one shirt. So why pay $25 when you could pay $6? $6shirts.com. Go check it out. Don't tell him Don Tony sent you, because I don't even know who fucking owns it. So, but anyway. Okay, let me go back. All right, let me go back. Because we were talking earlier and I said, what do you guys want? Oh, everybody wants the games. Everybody wants me to talk about the games first. Now, we're going to have a little laugh about something. And then we will allow us to get a little bit back to reality. All right. Yesterday, AEW had this big reveal as far as their future, immediate future, upcoming future with video games. And yesterday, you know, at some points early on, I thought this was satire. I thought this was a joke. I mean, when Kenny Omega started showing the screen of him and John and Chris Jericho, and it looked like pixelated, like Atari 5200. I mean, I realized quick enough that it was just a joke. But when I see them come out all dressed like they think they're Steve Jobs, I mean, I'm not even, I'm just like, you know, I understand how a lot of millennials act and think, and I know I'm not a millennial, but to do this whole thing, and it's supposed to be like a tribute to Steve Jobs, a spoof, a satire, when Aubrey Edwards pulls the referee shirt off and she's dressed like Steve Jobs also, I'm like, I don't know, man. I just thought it was kind of goofy, all right? But we let it go. We let it go. But the big news out of yesterday, Yuke's. Now, don't mistake that with my cousin Vinny with Utes. Remember Fred Gwynn when he was the judge? What is a Ute? What is a Ute? Remember Yuke's? Yuke's that did games with WWE. Remember this guy? Hideyuki Awashita. He was involved with the No Mercy video game. Now, I'm not trying to disrespect this guy. How many years ago is No Mercy? And if you have to fall back on something you did 20 goddamn years ago, whatever, what year was No Mercy's video game, chat room? Somebody look it up. Don't guesstimate. But what year? I loved the No Mercy video game. It's like 22 years ago. It's like, all right, 20 to 22 years ago. All right, 2000, 20 years ago. Okay? Remember my Create a Wrestler gallery on wrestling-news.com 20 years ago? The two gal, No Mercy, we couldn't do much. But remember, Here Comes the Pain? SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain. And everybody's doing Create a Wrestler. If you want to check it out, you can still look at it. You got to go to the website Wayback Machine. Go on Google, type in Wayback Machine, and then when you get into there, type in wrestling-news.com and go back 20 years ago and look at my website, and you'll see, and some of those pages still work. Believe it or not, I found a couple of old episodes in a Minority Report that they had archived Wayback Machine that I accidentally deleted. I kid you not. You'll see Tombstone Radio on there. You'll see some of the nudes that I put up back then of, you know, certain divas. Not just the regular nudes, but nudes that no one had ever seen before, where former WWE divas had actually emailed me and said, please, could you delete that? I don't want my kids to see that. True stories. But, okay, No Mercy was an awesome, awesome video game. But we're in the year 2020 now, where everything is realistic, where the gameplay is so, I mean, the realistic portion of it. And the thing is I have my 91 Lincoln Mark 7 still. I restored it as much as I could. I drive it around still. I took it out the other day. It's a 91. And trust me, when that car, that LSC Special Edition came out in 1991, everybody drooled over that car. The computer technology was really, really advanced at the time. The airbags for the brakes, the whole, everything about it. And even though almost everything still works, it's still 30 years later. So no matter how awesome it was in 1991, it's not on the level of 2020. And No Mercy was a kick-ass video game. But you want to mention that you were part of No Mercy, or you were the figurehead, or you were the creator, or the design, that's fine. That's fine. But we're in 2020 now. Show me your talents in 2020. Show me what you could do now. And when I saw this picture yesterday of Kenny Omega, all right? Now, everyone, please, please, because we're going to have a little fun right now, and then we'll bring it back to earth. So nobody criticize me yet, because I will bring this back to earth. When they showed that yesterday, I mean, the first thing I thought about was those Halloween costumes when you dress up like a sumo wrestler. Then I started thinking a little bit further. And I'm like, oh, shit, I fucked it up. Okay. It looks like Giant Gonzalez tits. I mean, it looks like Giant Gonzalez. All right. Then I thought about it even further, and Kenny Omega's chest looks like the Wrestling Buddies. You remember the Wrestling Buddies? It looks like he looks like a balloon. Seriously, I want to put helium in it, and I want him to float over Daly's place like a blimp. So I'm looking at that, and I'm saying to myself, all right, you know, all right, you're from No Mercy, good. All right, but show me what this would look like in 2020. Now, here, again, some people don't understand inglese when I say wait before you complain what I'm saying. Because one thing that went over everybody's heads yesterday, that even though I had a good laugh, I mean, seriously, it looks like you want to put a string on his head, and you want it to float across the I don't know what that. Just look at that. That's what you showcased. All right. Now, in defense of them, they put up this disclaimer. The fucking game hasn't even been created yet. They did a little bit of motion video and some sketches to give you a taste of what is to come. So do I think Kenny Omega is going to have helium? Oh, that's the wrong one. Helium balloon tits? No. He's not going to look like that when the game is finalized. But when I saw that yesterday, I'm like, honey, not for nothing. You know, not for nothing. I appreciate what you did for No Mercy. We're in 2020 right now. I don't think any video game in 2020, you know, someone's chest looks like it's like a Halloween sumo wrestling costume. So the end picture is going to be fine. I think in the end, the wrestlers are going to look fantastic. I think the gameplay will be great. Now, unfortunately, I can't put any gameplay on here because I don't want to get flagged for copyrights. But I am allowed to show you some of the pictures. And this was some of the things that they showed yesterday, if you want to see a little bit of it. You know, I know a lot of people thought it was funny to make fun of Jericho, the way it looked and everything. Actually, you know what? Let me move this down a little bit so you could see it a little bit better. Especially the Jericho one. You know, I don't think it's all that bad. You know, I don't think it's all that bad. It's a Karashita. You know, this is just a preliminary stage. So I don't think it's going to be anything remotely of how it looks right now. But, you know, that's pretty much what they showed us yesterday. So now there are three games. Go back to Shida. I'll show it one more time. Here you go. Yeah, one more time. That's Jericho and Kenny Omega. That's the background. And you even look at the background, you could tell that it was just superimposed over a... if you want to see a little closer up. Here, I'll put this a little bigger for everybody. So, yeah, you can see it. Yeah, there you go. All right. So, you know, not too bad. Not too bad. So I thought it was funny to put that out there, especially the close-up of Kenny Omega, because I just wanted to take a pin and just pop his tits. Seriously. I wanted to hear the helium pop. But the bottom line is, they have three games in development. And this is fabulous news for those who want a game. See, say what you want. And remember what I said two and a half years ago, that AEW is going to be the first millennial promotion. A lot of people didn't understand what I meant by that at the time. But one thing that is great about everybody who works behind the scenes at AEW, a lot of wrestlers, is that they rather just hang out and play video games. So video games are a huge part of their escape, a huge part of their hobbies and what they love to do. You see Miro online gaming with everyone, whether it's the Twitch or Among Us or whatever it is. Maybe they all do different gaming. This is what it's about. So you want people hands-on with this because the concept of the games are going to reflect what they like as well. And trust me, you know, WWE has had some kick-ass games over the years, but lately there's been a little bit of floundering going on. Now, the three games that they're in development is obviously the console game, which will be available on all platforms. There's no estimated release date yet. My guess, it would be the summer to fall of 2021. This vaccine is going to be out very, very soon. There's word that it could be out in 2 to 3 weeks. I have a weird feeling because in the United States right now, I think like almost every state except for three have had a big increase in coronavirus cases. I think today it was up to like 130,000 cases and the most deaths in, you know, months and months and months. The bottom line is that especially after this election, there's a lot of people out there like, you know what? Fuck this, man. I'm living my fucking life. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are doing it very, very irresponsibly. My point is that even though they've said that this vaccine could be launched 2 to 3 weeks from now, given to the elderly first and the sick and this and that, I think it's possible they're going to speed that timeline up even sooner. Because what is miraculously going to change about that vaccine between now and 2 or 3 weeks from now? They have over 90% success rate right now with that vaccine. Measles, and I brought this up on Patreon on Tuesday. The measles, that vaccine has a 90% success rate as well. And do we have an epidemic for measles? No, we don't. So the point is that with all of the advanced trials, they're over 90% success rate. So if this number keeps increasing at this, you know, dramatic rate of positive cases in the United States, you're going to start seeing requests to get this vaccine out now. Won't be tomorrow, but, you know, by December, that vaccine should be available for almost whoever wants it. Now, yes, it's supposed to be free for everyone, but I already talked to someone who works for a lab that they're going to sell the vaccine. You pay them $129, they will vaccinate you, even if you're not sick or elderly or have an underlying condition. So, you know, if everything goes as planned and things start coming back to somewhat of a normal by January, summer of 2021 to the fall of 2021 is a very good possibility for this game to come out. So that's the first game we talked about. Another game that they're going to be bringing out is a casino game. All right, and it's going to have the double or nothing theme. Now, I know a lot of you out there were very, very confused about this, like, casino game. What do you mean casino game? Well, you know, look up Eva Marie and look up Ric Flair. All right, those are just two examples of it. Basically, online betting is a thing. Now, I go to Mohegan Sun, and I play their online casino app. Now, I don't have to pay money to play, but you gamble chips. And if you play enough games, you could cash in these coins for real money that you could use at Mohegan Sun. So right now I have almost 2 billion chips because, you know, I sometimes hit some jackpots, this and that. But if you run out of chips, and there's a lot of video games out there. There's a lot of video games that are on things like Steam and others where you buy coins or you buy this and you, you know, if you run out, you know, you could wait a day and get like 50 back, or you could pay $4.99 and get a whole splurge now. I mean, everybody knows what that's all about. That's the concept of this casino game. It you're going to be able to play for free. But when all those free coins run out quickly, oh, for $4.99, you could get 1 million coins. $5, what, big deal. And you'll have some wrestlers that'll kind of host the game. You'll hear some voices. Like I said, look up the Eva Marie ones. That is a good example of it. Now, the last time I went to Mohegan, I did not see the Eva Marie games there. So I don't know if it's going to be. What did Big Baller say? Fortnite has a huge lawsuit with Apple and more. Okay. But you all understand the concept. The game will be free. But if you want to pay money and get extra things, you can. You know, look, I play Among Us now. And me, I spent $2.99 to get this fucking robot. To, you know, now he won't leave me. You know, everywhere I walk, this little robot is right next to me. I just wanted it for a change, but I spent $3. So that's the concept. And it's a very, very smart concept to do. You know, it's the template and the brain as far as setting up a casino game is not difficult. It's just the designs. Not everything is going to look like a wrestling ring, you know, but that's pretty much the theme of it. Now, another game that they're looking to do. Now, I don't know if this is really what it's going to look like. I don't think so. But I understand why this screenshot is floating around. they're going to have a mobile game that's going to be almost like a GM mode, where you could actually, like, build a roster and book matches, and, you know, you could have certain results. So they're going to have a GM mode as well. But when you think about it, they're going to have a game on the regular consoles. They're going to have a game for the mobile phone that's more of thinking and strategy. And then you have a casino game for anybody out there who likes, you know, playing slots or whatever else. You know, this is excellent. This is excellent. And for people out there that are trying to say that this is competition for WWE, you know, let's be honest. Some of the WWE video games that have come out the last couple of years, I mean, the glitches are hilarious. I mean, I watched all the videos of everybody, you know, posting the glitches, and they're funny as fuck. But the one thing is like every person out there, some of you out there who posted the video glitches, I mean, you're not sitting at home and going, look at this. Look, I'm actually floating in the air. No, you're posting it, but then you're like, the fuck? Come on, man. I'm about to win the title. The fuck? What? Come on, man. This is fucked up. So nobody at the end likes the glitches when it's happening to them. So WWE, with their games, that's one thing. AEW is another. Now, let's also be honest. Let's also be honest. And I brought this up before. I was a diehard ECW fan. I had the privilege of working for them for the last year that they were in existence, from 2000 to 2001. I pushed tickets for them up through my hotline, made a couple of friends there, you know, tried to push people to come to the New York events as much as possible, downstate. And when their video game came out, I think Anarchy Rules might have been the first one. I don't remember which one the first one was. But when their video game was coming out, when you are a rabid diehard fan as much as I was, and the video game was coming out, I swear on a stack of Bibles, I was friends with a video game place called Video Game Central that used to be located in Howard Beach, New York. Anybody that goes back with me in my hotline days will remember that I was involved working with them for autograph signings. They did a famous Brock Lesnar autograph signing that I put online, that if anybody out there wants an autograph from Brock Lesnar, you know, I could get it for you because he'll be in my neck of the woods. I hung out with Brock Lesnar for about an hour. You know, Shawn Michaels. I mean, there was a lot of people involved there. And, you know, it was great. It was great. But for some reason, when the ECW video game was coming out, I called up my friend Brad at the time. I'm like, Brad, you know you got a game for me aside, right? He's like, we can't get it. I'm like, what do you mean you can't get it? They're like, I don't know. We put in an order for it. They're saying it's not available right now. So I ended up going to, like, I don't even know if it was GameStop at the time. I don't remember what it was called. What was the name of the store where you could also sell games? Was it GameStop? I'm mixing it up with something else. But I drove all the way to Suffolk County, Long Island, off of Route 110, which is about 45. It probably was GameStop. Funko Land, it definitely was not Funko Land. I think it EB Games. I don't think it was EB Games. It might have been GameStop. It might have been GameStop. EB Games does not sound right. Funko Land does not sound right. I think it was GameStop. But I drove from my house all the way. You know what, Phil? It could have been EB Games. Could have very well been. Because I remember, I'm such an idiot. I sold all my Atari 2600 and ColecoVision and all these other things, and they were in mint condition. I thought, you know, I was going to get gots for it. And those son of a bitches, man, made bucks. I go on eBay and I see Atari 2600 games that I had sealed in a box that was almost brand new. And, oh, man, my God. But, so, anyway, long story short, I put it on pre-order. And I drove all the way to Suffolk County, Long Island, which was about a 45-minute drive. I think it was going to be available like after like 3 p.m. or something like that. I went there. I got my game. I rushed all the way home. Now, you know, 20 years ago, you know, I'm still an adult. So I'm racing home. I can't wait to play this game. I finally get it in the house. I rip the fucking box off. I stick it in the thing. I look at it, and I'm starting to play it. And I swear on a stack of Bibles, if anybody's ever played the first ECW game, the first minute or two, when they're doing the intros and everything like that, I'm like, you know in Family Guy, when they're excited, like the little kid or the father, like they're like the game is loading and I'm just there like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. I played it for a minute or two. And for a minute or two, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. After about 2 minutes, I'm like, the fuck is wrong with this game? It was horrendous. It was god-awful. And I swear to God, I tried so hard to make it work. It's like if I would have picked up a 320-pound chick that hadn't showered in 2 weeks, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning in the club and I wanted to get laid, like, if I picked her up and she had not showered for 2 weeks, but she was dancing all night long and she's got sweat on top of sweat and she smells like rotten cheese and she's got like sausage underneath her neck. And if I just closed my eyes and pictured it was Christy Canyon, you know, like no matter how much I try to convince myself that, no, this is a 90-pound sexy porn chick that I'm banging right now or whatever, like it's like nothing I could do could escape it. That's what this video game was. It was the drizzling shits. Then you had others over the years. Legends of Wrestling. I mean, other than it looking like Billy Graham's head, that was god-awful. TNA was kind of a fucking letdown, to be honest with you. So non-WWE wrestling games do not have an all-spectacular history of being good. So... yeah, some of you out there, I guess I kind of ripped some open wounds or some closed wounds, some scabs about bad experiences in the club. Thank God that's so many years ago. Thank God I wore protection. That's all I need, especially now. You know, 50-year-old plus chick. Hey, remember me, the Harbor Club? Say hello to Anthony Jr. God. And he looks just like her. So anyway, I know we're all excited about an alternative as far as wrestling video games go. But when you look at the history of wrestling video games, non-WWE, there's been, was it Fire Pro Wrestling? I like that. You know, and I like the arcades. I still play the old WrestleFest games and all that stuff that were back in the day. I love arcade games. I have an arcade game machine that inside has Ms. Pac-Man and all this other stuff. But we're now in 2020. And they know that they got to deliver. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited. If you want to look at this really quickly, check this out. This is their press release. Let me read it to you. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but let me read this to you really quick. After revolutionizing the wrestling industry, AEW today shared its plans to reimagine the gaming world with the launch of AEW Games. The new venture will initially deliver 3 new gaming options to fans, including 2 mobile games and the highly anticipated console game being developed with the renowned video game developer, Yuke's. The birth of AEW Games was ushered in with a star-studded keynote special event on YouTube featuring Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, Dr. Britt Baker, Aubrey Edwards. The event also featured the introduction of wrestling gaming mastermind Hideyuki Iwashita, and they bring up No Mercy. And, you know, it goes on and on and on, and it says 2 mobile games will be available sooner for fans. AEW Casino Double or Nothing is anticipated to launch this winter, and the AEW Elite GM is anticipated to launch later in 2021. The Double or Nothing casino game will feature AEW-branded versions of slots, blackjack, poker, and roulette, along with AEW music, sounds, videos, wrestler, virtual, avatars, gift packs, and more. the AEW Elite GM, is the evolution of the GM simulator genre, taking its strategic elements of simulation and fantasy games to create a competitive and engaging space for the wrestling community to take part in. For fans take on the role of GM, designing a roster of wrestlers, setting up matches, and running shows to generate revenue, new fans, and effects on wrestler stamina and morale. Anybody ever played, this is not the press release, but anybody ever played Out of the Park, that I fell in love with a couple of years ago? It reminds me a lot of Out of the Park baseball. And yeah, so that's pretty much the deal. So, you know, to be continued. I am very much looking forward to it. And again, everyone, you know, yes, we can have a little fun with the picture of Kenny Omega in there, you know, but we also need to remember, too, it's in the very early stages. So they just wanted to put something out there, you know, they, especially the casino game. The casino game is going to be out within a month or so. So they wanted to make the announcement of all three. This way, when the casino comes out, if they didn't talk about the other two, you would have fans say, this is what we waited for? We were waiting for a wrestling game, and we got a casino game. I don't want to play blackjack. So it was very smart for them to do what they did yesterday. So I wish them well. I wish them well. So with that said, let's talk about, what do you want me to get into first? AEW NXT. Majority rules. By the way, I opened up the show with a thank you to our veterans. Today is Veterans Day in the United States. And, you know, I want to thank all of our veterans for their service and for keeping this country free. I know it doesn't feel free sometimes, especially after what happened in the election and all the stuff that's going on still. But, you know, today all we think about is thank you to our veterans. So, all right. For the most part, it seems to be leaning towards AEW. So we will talk about it. Oh, you mean to tell me I can't get into this guy yet? You know, the guy that sent the letter to Boa, you know, Sin Or Benjamin. Yeah, you know, we can't talk about him right now. We'll talk about him later. Yeah, we'll talk about him later. Look, let's be honest. If anybody watched AEW and or NXT tonight, the shows were very, very light on the in-ring action, with the exception of one or two matches. When I brought up the matches earlier, like I said, I don't even think half of us would go to both of those shows combined if it was an indie event. Oh, Jeff, you're very welcome. Thank you for your service. Seriously. I really mean that. So and you want to know something? I kid you not. This intro that I did, I actually bought that. I didn't download that from like a free website. They actually do like nice artwork, and they make, like, you see the smoke in the background is actually like playing a little. You see how it's going? So I actually bought that. I wanted to put my own on there. So, and I think the back just said Happy Veterans Day too. I think it did. So let's talk a little bit about AEW. All right. Basically, Taz opened the show with Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. They addressed Darby Allin, who is in the Boondocks. And the funny thing is, you almost feel like now batting for Jon Moxley in this six-man tag storyline, number blah, 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 Cody. Because remember, we were supposed to get Mox and Darby and Will Hobbs versus, I guess it was Cage, Starks, and somebody else. Then Lance Archer, I think, caught COVID, so they had to make an audible. Moxley's not in that storyline anymore. Moxley ain't coming to the rescue for Hobbs. So now it feels like Cody got put in there. Yeah, it was supposed to be Ricky Starks, Brian Cage, and Lance. So they're addressing Darby Allin, who's in the rafters with his title. And, you know, he basically, you know, we're talking about the upcoming match. Brian Cage. You know what? Before I get into the match results, I want to just shout out a few people. I don't want to forget about you guys. But first off, Steve Joseph, April is the earliest that the vaccine is coming. April, oh, it's going to be before that, man. I'll bet you. I'll bet you. If I win, you don't even have to super chat me. If I win, then all you have to do is one day in the very near future when I say Steve Joseph, not the Joseph, not the one that dances the fat oily guy, Steve Joseph, not the Joseph, but Steve Joseph. I'll say in the chat, I'll be talking about something. I'll be talking about, I don't know, hey, did you see what's going on with Roman Reigns? Oh, what did you think about that segment tonight? Could you believe Jimmy Uso turned on Jay? Steve Joseph, you got to give me credit. That was right. I'll just come out of nowhere. But if I lose, I'll get you like an AEW or NXT, like a signed photo or something. So how's that? It's going to be coming out much sooner than that. A lot of Biden's plans, his coronavirus task force, a lot of what he wants to do is not going to even be needed if this vaccine comes out before January 20th, if he ends up being our next president. I truly, truly believe it's not political. I've been staying away from the political stuff here. Yesterday, had a 90-minute Patreon show that was all about the election, which was very good, but that's what our Patreon audience wanted to hear. But I've been staying away from the election and all that stuff on these shows as much as possible. And it doesn't matter who the next president is going to be, this vaccination is going to come out very, very soon. I'm telling you, with the numbers that are going up right now and threats to shut down, you're going to see requests more and more to get this vaccine out now. Get it out now. Get it out now. You know, because the vaccine is not going to change, like I said before, all that much over the next couple of weeks. But we will see. We will see. If I'm wrong, then I'll admit it for sure. Ken terminated by DQ. What's up, Ken? On the Rise and Fall documentary, Dreamer talked about the performers that also worked as backstage employees. Was I one? No. I was not one of the boys. No, I don't even want to pretend that. I'm not going to BS that. I had a wrestling hotline, and trust me, for the long timers, trust me, you don't have to be like, again? No, I promise you that's not it. But I started my wrestling hotline in 1997. By 1999, it was the number one most listened to wrestling hotline in the United States, to the point where famous people like Blackjack Brown and King Jordan, anybody who lives in my neck of the woods knows who they are. They had these infamous wrestling hotlines that you paid like $2 a minute for that they tried to get me to do a 900 line with them. I backed out at the last minute because I really didn't have sources. I kind of felt too much pressure that I didn't think I was going to be able to deliver. Plus, I didn't think anybody would want to pay money for me. I was nobody. But long story short, when ECW, and I think it was because they were trying to get as much money as possible, I had gotten a message. I don't want to mention the person's name, but somebody very famous in ECW left me a message on my hotline and said, hey, you know, I keep hearing from all these people about your hotline. You know, how would you like to do a little work with us selling tickets? So I called him. And he introduced me to a few people. And the next thing you know, I was selling tickets for ECW pay-per-views and some New York events through my hotline. And in return, they would give me tickets for front row. They would, you know, I'd get little things here and there. Made a couple of friends in ECW. But, you know, I mean, the stories with the heroes and all that stuff. It was just me wanting to give back to a promotion that entertained me for those years. And just, it was my favorite promotion. It was a dream come true. But, you know, well, I pushed tickets. I got to go backstage and hang out, meet some people here and there. But for the most part, you know, my relationship was for two or three people in ECW and nobody else. So I'm not going to say, you know, you could see people online and they do it all the time, man. You know, you never, ever, ever hear them talking about rubbing elbows with people. Never, never bring up a person's name. The minute they died, oh, we were best friends. I worked with him all the time. Why do I sound like Don West? Barry Bonds. I mean, the minute somebody dies, oh, I could wait for them all to die and say, yeah, I was backstage. I worked for everybody. No, I it's just not true. It's not true. But hopefully I answered your question as good as I could. Jeremy Westbrook, Brian Cage is uselessly booked. I like that word, uselessly booked. I brought this up during the Full Gear recap on Saturday. And it just hit me. And I know some of it's common sense, but it just hit me. AEW does not have a fucking clue what to do with their big men. Seriously. They don't have a fucking clue. And I'm not anti-Cody. I like Cody. Cody is MVP of AEW with all the work he does. That guy works 35 hours a day. But when he did that interview with Dasha Fuentes about a month ago, where he's outside in the car and he says, we're a light heavyweight promotion, it really, really struck me. Because I said, why in front of millions of people watching live or archives later on, why would you go out of your way to say we're a light heavyweight promotion? First of all, to me, that's a fuck you to anybody who's not a light heavyweight. But it was just weird to even have that mindset. I don't know why that was said. But then when you look now, I mean, look at Lance Archer. I mean, you talk about, I mean, I see people because it's cosmetic. It's cosmetic. Miro, Rusev. Miro, Lana. Miro, Tweetfuck. Oh, Miro, misused. Tweetfuck, 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 Tweetfuck. Lance Archer? What am I going to get? Two Tweetfucks out of this? I'm not going to mention Lance Archer. Who's been misused more in AEW? Miro, who seems like he's taking a little bit of a break physically and mentally from in the ring and having fun and doing games and doing other stuff, and he's doing a little bit of working part-time for AEW. Or Lance Archer, who was built to be this goddamn machine and got in that tournament, ran into the Cody wall, which we still say is fine. We understand why it happened. But since then, oh, my God. What's that fable, that kid story, where somebody keeps lying? Was it the pigs or was it the coyote? He kept lying. He kept saying that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this, and he didn't do shit. AEW keeps putting Jake the Snake Roberts out there with Lance Archer, and he's beating this person in the back. He's throwing this person through the roof, through the sewer, you know, sticking things up people's asses, you know, just humiliating people. And then nothing happens. And then 2 weeks later, not Pinocchio, the boy who cried wolf. Thank you, Dorian. You know, this is the promotion that cried wolf. How many times you can have Lance Archer beating the piss out of people in the back and then you do nothing? And then you do nothing. Jake Roberts has COPD. I think AEW's writing has that when it comes to the larger guys. You know, COBD, you know, constantly overlooking big dudes. I just came up with that. COBD. AEW suffering from COBD, constantly overlooking big dudes. See, but no, look at all of it. Look at Will Hobbs today. He comes, why? Because he's got intro music. We're supposed to be like, ah! Does anybody care about Will Hobbs? He came out there and it was like, you know, Sammy Guevara said he didn't get the email. I don't think Will Hobbs got the email either. So they are not handling their big men good at all. And that's terrible. Because every big man that they have is uber talented. So, anyway, so we get Brian Cage beating Matt Sydal. Matt Sydal putting on a great performance. I don't know where he fits in this company. It's interesting that they went with Matt Sydal to get Ultimate Squash. Certain other smaller guys are very, very protected, if you notice, without naming names. Then Ricky Starks cuts a promo. Anyone standing in our way, we'll put you in the grave. and the Revolution will be televised, and, you know, Ricky Starks fine on the mic. Cody comes out, congratulates Darby Allin, and man, if it was all DT, I would say a word that begins with the letter P, but we'll just use D for dummy. He says, no, you know what? We're not going to seek a rematch right now. I mean, does that even make sense? Why even say that? You were about to get interrupted by one of the Real Housewives of Jacksonville, so why even say that? I don't even know why that was even necessary. It's almost the same as that we're a light heavyweight division promotion. So he has the confrontation. This girl, Jade, comes out. She calls herself the Total Package. She's been sitting on the sidelines studying their competition. And she said that Cody wants to topple Giants. That was another... Wow, that's weird. I just, like, realized that she talked about Cody trying to topple Giants, which is kind of weird out of nowhere because Cody just took on someone. I think my right foot weighs more than him. I'm not trying to make fun of Darby Allin, but the fuck? That doesn't even make sense. But anyway, the whole Giants thing is to tease that, you know, Shaq might be doing something. I have a feeling that this was just a teaser to see how the net was going to respond to it. I'm not feeling it, but, you know, I thought she was fine. And I don't mean fine like she's fine. No, I thought she was fine with a promo. It just felt out of nowhere. I don't think it was her fault. The Brandy stuff, Brandy was actually good in that segment because she sounded like how if she went to like a club or a bar with her husband and, you know, like this girl Jade happened to be stepping, you know, too close to their personal space, not because of COVID, but because, you know, maybe you can do something for me. You know, I would want my fiance or my wife to be like, bitch, you better be stepping. I am not going to take your shit. The only thing that would have been different is my fiance would have stood there and make sure that Jade be stepping. But no, Brandy's like, you better be stepping. And then she stepped away. So you know that Brandy's not from the streets. Most people that say they're from the streets, they're not. They're not. When you have to tell people that you are, you're not. So that's actually rule number one on the streets. Never tell people that you're from the streets. You have to tell people you're from streets, then you're not. So shout out to Jeremy Westbrook. Got to be honest, ever since AEW got close to Raw ratings, it seems like their demeanor changed as far as the show layout. Ignoring NXT, yeah, I could see that. I could see that. One thing is for certain. Full Gear was such a success that Tony Khan basically told everybody, almost everybody, that worked their ass off at Full Gear, you could have Wednesday off. And I think that's deservingly so. When I mentioned that card before again, the card minus the segments, very lackluster for a Dynamite. But we've been spoiled with matches that are, you know, big names and upper tiers. And we've been spoiled amongst all the promotions. So, you know, I think AEW doing their thing and pretending like NXT doesn't exist is very smart. It's very smart. I don't compare myself to promotions, but I learned my lesson. Back about 13, 14 years ago, I would poke fun at every webcast out there, and I would say things specifically about people. Then, you know, I started really learning my lesson that, you know what, I know there's a lot of people that suck out there, but show people why you're good, not why other people are bad. And I just did my thing, didn't give a shit who was on, who they were interviewing, whose guest they were. You just do your thing, and, you know, the rest is history. So I like that AEW almost acts like NXT doesn't exist. That's smart because you stay focused on only what you're doing. You're not, because you know what happens? You know, if somebody's chasing you, you're in your car and you're driving and somebody's chasing you, you know, you could be the greatest driver around and you could be doing 60, but you'll get caught doing this. You know, like you take your mind off the ball. Focus strictly on your product. So I absolutely like, if you're getting that vibe from AEW, that's a good thing. I get that vibe from NXT. Problem is, NXT, it feels like they're on quicksand. When I get into the recap in a couple of moments, you know, they definitely changed it up a little bit this week. Format was changed a little bit this week, and it kind of made the flow a lot nicer. But, you know, the problem is there, NXT has quite a few people that after 2, 3, 4, 6, 8 months and still having 100,000 viewer drops in some cases, just get some point where you got to just say, look, it's, you know, we got to make a change of direction. So anyway, the bunkhouse match, as I said earlier, you know, parts of management involved in the match. So you know QT was, if QT could have dived off of the top of Daly's place, if QT could have taken a hook and grabbed like a plane going by, jumped off of that, you know, he's got a, and I think he has a little chip on his shoulder. I think that there's a lot of people online like, this guy's got no charisma. He's never connected. He's never been a big character. He's been a great wrestler. I've seen him work in other promotions. He's not bad. But this is a guy, with all due respect, that got a storyline where DDP, I give you my diamond cutter. He got a girl. He's part of this Natural Nightmares that now has Billy and Bobby, or whatever their names are. QT Marshall does absolutely nothing for me. Nothing. And, you know, it was a nice brawl and everything, but it feels like, okay, I worked my ass off in the back. Reward me. Reward me. Instead of QT, reward QT. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Devin, I think more people know QT over me, to be honest. QT's not garbage. He's not garbage. It's just that, you know, look, I worked enough indie shows and promotions that someone who is involved behind the scenes that also does stuff in the ring gets opportunities that they would never get if they were working for a different promotion. QT Marshall, let's be honest, if he didn't work in the back, if he didn't do all the things that he does, and he helps a lot, he is a big part of behind the scenes. Hell, look at his position. It's not janitor. He's high up. But if he was just straight up wrestler with nothing going on behind the scenes, I don't see this guy getting anywhere near the TV time. Nowhere near it. But they won the Buckhouse match. The match was a lot of fun. I mean, they used tables. They did a nice spot with some thin plywood. You know, it sounds good, it looks good, and it's thin like cardboard, but it's still fun. They went through chairs. The blade was busted open pretty good. And QT Marshall, go figure, hits the diamond cutter with a chain as well being involved onto the butcher and the blade. She went through a table, the bunny, and then Dustin nailed blade with a cowbell, and QT Marshall lands another cutter for the win. So not only did management, you know, because of the storyline with the bunny, was no longer with QT, she got put through a table, he hits a couple of cutters, he dies from 85 feet off a ladder, and he gets the pin too. And you still rank 36th on my list, to be honest. So Matt Hardy cuts a promo, showing a little respect for Sammy Guevara. Seeds are starting to plant. Branch away. Told you. And I'm not saying to be a dick. I'm just saying, like, now you're seeing it in motion. The next evolution of Sammy Guevara, the next step begins. MJF and the Inner Circle ceremony. I'm so disappointed with so many of you online. When MJF was talking about getting $1 million from his dad, you know, starting out with $1 million loan, how does anyone out there miss it? Someone in the chat, the first person that writes it, I shout him out. But tell me what MJF was spoofing, and don't just tell me Drake. Come on. Thank you, James Edward. Seriously. MJF's promo was all about Trump when Trump borrowed $1 million from his dad. Come on. That's what he was doing. He was mocking Trump. He was mocking Drake. He was mocking this. That's all that was. But they did the ceremony. Sammy Guevara is a no-show. And MJF gives tickets to all members of the Inner Circle. I guess Wardlow had a ticket as well. And they're all going to Vegas. So next week, we got a Inner Circle Invades Vegas segment. I'm not knocking it because a lot of the segments have been great. And I like the La Dina Debonair, even though it should have been a dream sequence. So that was fun. I don't think they're going to last as a cohesive unit for very long. There's going to be a lot of friction going on. And I think Sammy Guevara's, people are going to take MJF over Guevara, and MJF is going to rub it in. And that's going to help Sammy Guevara to the next level. And then they may end up throwing a swerve in the end, and Guevara may not be turning face after all. So, no, I agree with you, Devin. They weren't hiding that that MJF was making fun of Trump. It's just 95% of everybody I saw on social media talking about it, they had no clue that he was mocking Trump. No clue. We got a couple of matches announced for next week. Kip Sabian versus Orange Cassidy. The Inner Circle segment in Las Vegas. Next week, you got Cody and Darby Allin versus Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. Again, you bring Will Hobbs out there, where the fuck is Lance Archer? So, Dasha Gonzalez trying to interview Kenny Omega. He gets up and he leaves for some reason. And then you had, what the fuck's his name? Alex Marvez. He finds him in the parking lot. Kenny Omega's on the phone with someone, and Kenny Omega cuts a promo that he now knows that he is going to be taking on Jon Moxley on December 2nd. And he talked about not only getting the title, but he wants his number one ranking back. And beautiful, because, and I'm not, look, it wasn't my idea. A lot of you said the same thing as well. Omega is looking to reclaim his number one status in pro wrestling, period. The only way that's going to happen is opportunity. AEW's got to open up the storylines and the opportunity for Kenny Omega to do it. You know Kenny Omega could do his side of the bargain. Now AEW has to do their side of the bargain and give him the opportunities. So we'll see what happens. It was very, very good. Ty Conti over Red Velvet. Not a bad match, you know. It wasn't bad. There was a little bit of miscommunication with Anna Jay, who was in the corner of Red Velvet. Of Ty Conti. Brandy was in the corner of Red Velvet. And Brandy with the overacting, because she's still upset earlier about, you know, the Real Housewives stuff. And she's like her mind's elsewhere. You know. I don't know. It is what it is. But Ty Conti looking good. And she got the win. Shawn Spears beating Scorpio Sky. This was a little interesting. I don't know if they're going to tease doing something with Tully and Spears and Sky. But there was one point where Tully Blanchard gives Shawn Spears that piece of metal or whatever you want to call it, you know, and Shawn Spears puts it in his glove. I thought this was the finish was good. What happened after the match, I had a headache. But he puts it in the glove, And what happens is, it seems like Tully Blanchard gave one also to Scorpio Sky. So maybe, you know, Tully thinks that maybe he wants to recruit Scorpio Sky, maybe. So Scorpio Sky is like, fuck that. He throws it away. Idiot. So Sean Spears is like, fuck that. I'm not throwing mine away. And he knocks out Scorpio Sky, gets the win. But what was ridiculous about it is the ref didn't see Sean Spears stuff the glove. He knocks out Scorpio Sky. Now, even in storyline, if Scorpio Sky says to the referee that he got hit with something, you know, this referee is like trying to look at the glove, and Sean Spears is like, I don't have nothing, and it's Sinet. And then 10 seconds later, the referee is like looking at the glove again. He's looking at the floor. Suddenly, he's a fucking detective. The match is over. Count to three. It doesn't matter. He's looking everywhere. He's looking up his shirt. He's looking here. He's looking in his panties. I mean, it was just dumb, stupid. That fucking referee annoys the shit out of me. So, Inner Circle segment number two. They're in the back getting interviewed. Sammy Guevara shows up. Sammy Guevara is a little pissed off. Thank you. Nice abs. If I could find them. Sammy Guevara is a little upset. MJF sent him an email, said, go to the beach. So MJF says to Sammy, no, I sent you a second email, told you to come here to the building. And Sammy says, I never got that second email. So a little bit of dissension. And they're basically trying to smooth it out, Jericho and the others. And they walk off, and you have MJF and Sammy still on the screen. And MJF is like, look, I sent you the second email. Here's your ticket to Las Vegas. It's on me. And then MJF walks away, and Sammy's like, I didn't get that second email. So, you know, you could see they're starting to plant the seeds. So I'm fine with it, fine with it. Rey Fénix losing to Penta El Zero Miedo. Good that they're one win apiece. We'll probably get a third match. I don't think anybody's complaining. This match had some unbelievable spots, the same spots that they have done before. The controversy in this match, Eddie Kingston was on the mic. First, he cut a promo talking about how he lost the I Quit match, but he'll never stop wrestling. He will become world champion one day. He does commentary, and they're trying to tease, like, you know, like the brothers or, you know, splitting up and this and that. But what happens is Rey Fénix and Penta, they tear each other's masks. You could see a good part of their face. And, you know, they continued the match like that, and Penta gets the win. But everybody was focused on the fact that so much of their face was showing. Now, if you want to go check this out, you're more than welcome to. I'm sure the footage is still on YouTube. But I don't remember what month it was this year, but I know it was before the pandemic, so I would say probably around February. There was an event in upstate New York, might have been Schenectady, you know, Brody Lee's at neck of the woods. By the way, where is he? So there was an event, I don't know if it was Northwest Wrestling or Northeast Wrestling, I forget if it's Northeast or Northwest Wrestling, but it was John Moxley versus Penta in the main event. And at the very end of the match, John Moxley pulls Penta's entire mask off. Entire mask. You actually see his whole face for about a second or two. And when he goes to cover his face, Moxley hits the paradigm shift and gets the win. So if you go and you check a little bit of history, you will find matches where Pentagon had his mask torn in half. Happened to Rey Fénix as well. This is not the first time. And it's supposed to tease a little bit more of the dissension and, you know, what's going on in the match. But, yeah, you'd be surprised, Neil. If you look, this has happened more than once. More than once. But excellent match. I'm going to be really curious to see what this rating is going to look like. Because leading up to this, segments are great and everything. But you know, there's no question that the wrestling segments, with the exception maybe of Inner Circle, the in-ring action pops more of a rating. Today, it was a lot of the opposite. And yes, we just had Full Gear again, so a lot of people had the night off from in the ring. But then at the very end, when Eddie Kingston hits the ring again and kind of teasing that Pentagon doesn't need Rey Fénix, Pac's music hits. Pac gets on the mic, and Pac is talking about how, you know, that basically it sounds like he's trying to confront Eddie Kingston. Because remember, Pac was doing stuff with the Lucha Bros before COVID struck. And it seemed, I guess they were trying to play like Pac is confronting Eddie Kingston for trying to ruin the family, whatever it is. And they had a couple of pull-aparts, but as I said when the show opened up tonight, my show, that if you look at it closely, it doesn't look like they connected or touched each other even once. So this might be a little setup. You may end up seeing the Butcher and the Blade get kicked out of this whole, you know, this whole group. But, you know, not a bad show. Not a bad show. Neil, it's not disrespectful to tradition. You know, it's happened with other people as well. You know, it's taking the mask off and leaving it off, you know, that's different. But masks being torn and taken off have been storylines for decades and decades and decades in matches. So it's, if you look around, there's many of them, many of them. Also, Ken is a huge Jerry Lynn fan, but when Jerry tried to separate the women, doesn't Mr. JL look like Doug Dillinger? And yeah, Sam, fuck you again. So it's a running joke, everybody. It's not really a joke. Sam, double fuck you. But you know, I wouldn't say he looked like Doug Dillinger. He looked like a producer. You know, it's just like NXT or WWE when you have pull-aparts and then somebody will come out and be like, oh, shit, there's Billy Kidman. Or sometimes in AEW, oh, shit, there's Dean Malenko. Oh, there's Jerry Lynn. Oh, there's, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it's nice. I didn't say, did I say fuck you to Ken? Oh, Sam. Sorry, Ken. I meant Sam. Double fuck you to Sam. See, you shouldn't have said anything. Because then we would have went off the air and Ken would have been like, why did he curse me out? I don't understand it. But you had to bring it to my attention. Now I realize it was a verbal typo. So, Sam, I am. Fuck you. So, not a bad AEW, but not one that I'm really going to remember. Other than maybe Pac returning and Inner Circle stuff. So, NXT. Johnny Gargano opens the show, and he loves wheels now. He loves wheels. He made a wheel to determine his next opponent for the North American Championship. Now, this was the early wheel. Notice on there that you don't have Leon Ruff. I don't remember what name he took off. It might have been Damian Priest, believe it or not. He might have omitted Damian Priest's name and put a piece of paper over for Leon Ruff. But you remember when I joked on Halloween Havoc and I said those wheels are rigged, that they could have it set so it specifically lands on something? You'll remember when I said if this was at a casino, somebody get their head blown off and then they spin the wheel to figure out how they're going to kill you. You know, you got one of those rigged wheels today. Because Gargano spins the wheel, and it's going like this, and it's like this, it's like this. I mean, I don't want to start screwing things up. Hey, you know, I just realized, mine is kind of like Gargano's, too. Let me see. I don't want to start unplugging stuff. Let me see if I can pull this. I got a little light over here. But see, mine, there's no magnet in the back. There's no magnet. It's just straight up. So Gargano has his wheel. I got mine. So if I spin it, I mean, it's pretty lame, but, you know, it lands where it lands. Gargano's is going left, right, upside down, and it lands on Leon Ruff. Because Leon Ruff, you know, for those that don't know Leon Ruff, okay, Leon Ruff, he's worked Evolve. one or two matches for CZW, FIP. He's done NXT, one or two squash matches on WWE. The guy's been wrestling 4 or 5 years. Leon Ruff, you know, again, this is why you got to ignore the shallow goofs on social media. Because they see Leon Ruff, they only see the guy who got squashed a couple of times on TV. They know nothing about his Evolve career. They know nothing about what this guy could do. And the fact is, with Leon Ruff, he is extremely, extremely liked behind the scenes. He is very talented. And yes, if you want to look at it, it almost feels like, sorry doing this, but now batting for Leo Rush, Leon Ruff. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, he's small, his size, his physique, but the guy is so talented. Is he a main eventer? No. But this is not a, no disrespect to him intended, but it's not a James Ellsworth situation. Leon Ruff could fucking work. And they just signed him to a contract. So the storyline was, and for people that claim they follow NXT every week and don't, but really don't. Johnny Gargano, the storyline also, is that he wins a belt, but then he can't defend it. He always loses. So that was part of the storyline as well. So Gargano, because of his history of always losing, he was going to rig the wheel tonight to have an opponent that he thinks he can handily beat, which was Leon Ruff. So Leon Ruff comes out, new music, has the match with Gargano. Pretty quick match. You know, I loved that it changed the format of NXT because I've been telling you the formula, the template they use every week. Opening match really, really long, sometimes with a clusterfuck finish. Promo, promo, 1 minute match, promo, promo. Semi-long match, then you got promo, minute, minute, promo, 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 main event long. That's what they've been doing almost every week. So today, we got a short match. And believe it or not, Leon Ruff pins Johnny Gargano to win the NXT North American Championship. Now, the funny thing with Leon Ruff is that he is so small that he can't even put the belt around his waist because it doesn't snap that small. So, you know, Triple H's pitchers, you're like, hey, this is Leon Ruff. You know how he always does the pitchers? He posed like this. Triple H posed with him tonight. And if you look, you know, because the belt is so small, I mean, his body's so small, the belt keeps falling to the floor. Damian Priest was trolling Johnny Gargano during the match. And when the match was over, Damian Priest came out to celebrate with Leon Ruff. Damian Priest is laughing at Gargano. And I tell you, you know, it's unexpected. I don't think anybody in their right mind ever thought that there was any chance of this happening. But again, you know, if you don't know a lot about Leon Ruff and you're interested, go check out a little bit of his history. You'll realize the guy can really fucking work. And he is very well liked in WWE. A lot of the wrestlers, you know, like working with him. And, you know, this is a twist in the storyline. You know, after the match was over, you know, he's in the back. And then Damian Priest tells him to leave. I think even Damian Priest may have had a car outside. He's like, you know, take my car. You know, because Gargano's going to be looking for you. And sure enough, Leon Ruff leaves with the belt. And then Gargano is in the back and there's this extended argument, pull apart with Gargano and Priest. And yeah, I mean, don't feel bad the belt can't wrap around him because it's kind of funny. And you know what? You know, I understand people that don't watch NXT on a regular basis probably know nothing about Leon Ruff. So I get it when someone says like, him beating Gargano? Why would you do that? But, you know, for the more experienced people out there, you know, that really do, you know, put it this way. For those out there that aren't just about tweet fucking any names that are very, very famous, you know, to get a reaction, you know, if you appreciate in-ring work, go check out his story because it's actually a pretty cool one. So I tell you, you know, I didn't expect this, but I'm happy for the guy. He's the new North American champion. How long is title reign? You know, that's obviously a big question as well. Well, if you look at that, doesn't it look like that they're standing right next to my pictures? Like, I got to hide my head, right? It almost looks like, yeah. Now it looks like they're standing in my room. I just realized that. So, good for him. Good for him. I'm fine. No Dakota Kai. I'll explain what happened. Santos Escobar beats Jake Atlas to retain the Cruiserweight title. You know, it was a decent match. I thought it went on a little bit too long. I know WWE is really trying hard to get fans invested in the Jake Atlas Santos Escobar storyline, but they ain't into it. They are not into it. And it's a shame because Jake Atlas is very talented as well. They tried to make him a little bit more of an attitude edgy when he attacked, you know, the group last week and then tonight. But in the end, I think it's probably time to move on from that. There was one point where Jake Atlas tried to do a tope suicida and didn't work out all that well. But, you know, this match was very good. But again, it went on way too long. And WWE, yes, we're in COVID. Yes, they do less matches. And yes, they have some matches that go a lot longer than what they need to, simply to fill up time. This was one of them. You could feel that this match was going on way too long because they needed to fill time, especially when the first match was so short. So Santos Escobar retains. Now, there was another incident in the back that created the Acme Insta feud that I've always talked about over the years. Dexter Lumis is in the back drawing a picture. Oh, do I have it? Yes, I do. Dexter Lumis was drawing a picture of Cameron Grimes running away from a zombie. That is legitimately drawn by Dexter Lumis. I know Dexter Lumis did cameos. I'd love to have him draw something for me. For real. I'm not even kidding. And the funny thing is, it kind of looks like Adam Cole more than Cameron Grimes, in my opinion, on the right. But Dexter Lumis was drawing that. So you have a backstage segment where August Gray, you know, the eyeshadow color that we talked about last week. Yeah, Dexter Lumis draws like Jerry Lawler. Dexter Lumis is extremely talented with the drawing. Who's that? And Neil. He's that good. Yeah, he's awesome. So, who's that? I don't know if that was that's kind of creepy. You could draw for me. I'll give you something to draw. I can't talk about it here, but nothing perverted. But what happened was August Gray is going to interview in the back, the former Anthony Green. And Timothy Thatcher shows up, attacks him. And, you know, there's a big pull apart. And Timothy Thatcher throws Anthony Green, August Gray, into Dexter Lumis's drawing. And it's all dented. So Dexter Lumis appears and he's all pissed off. And Thatcher's like, I have no problem with you. But he just fucked up Dexter Lumis's drawing. Acme Insta feud. Later on tonight, we got Timothy Thatcher versus Dexter Lumis. They have video from last week of Candice LeRae destroying Shotzi Blackheart's tank. Then we get weirdness. Raquel Gonzalez comes out for a match with Xia Li. Remember last week, Xia Li, I must have this match. So Raquel Gonzalez comes out for the match. Instead of Xia Li coming out, Boa, don't call me Larry. Boa comes out and tells Raquel Gonzalez, there will be no match. There will be no match. Raquel beats the balls out of Boa. Boa knows a beatdown. Remember Bo Knows Best? Boa knows a beatdown. He gets beat down by Raquel Gonzalez. Raquel Gonzalez is pissed because there is no match tonight. And while Boa is laid out outside the ring. We get an appearance from this guy. Now, I know the picture is kind of shungada in quality because I really couldn't pull a screenshot, but this guy comes out. Now, for me, I originally wrote this online and I deleted it because I could just imagine people be like, oh, that's racist. But for those that don't know who this guy is, his name is C. Nor Benjamin. It's S-I, then N-O-H, and then B-E-N-J-A-M-I-N. Senor Benjamin. Senor Benjamin. I wrote it Japanese, though. I thought it was Senor Benjamin coming out. It was an Asian Senor Benjamin. He looked like Senor Benjamin. He gives Boa a piece of paper that has some Japanese lettering on it. And then he takes, like, charcoal. Now, I'm not going to draw my hand right now because I don't have, like, something that I could wipe off. But basically, if you do, like, a tic-tac-toe, like a pound sign, you know, the two lines and this, all he did was remove the bottom sign, the bottom line. So it was this and then this. And I went on Google to try to figure out what that symbol means, and I couldn't find it. I searched death, revenge. I searched the word deportation, INS, you know, leave, hungry. You know, I tried all different words. None of them looks like this. And the problem is, just to show you how stupid, just to show you how fucking stupid Google is, they have Google Translate. So me, and this is how stupid I am too, I admit it. I go on Google Translate, and I said, aha! Instead of translating from English to Japanese, which I've done before, I said, oh, let me do translate from Japanese to English. And it pops up. And I'm like, oh, cool. So now I could see what it meant in English. How the fuck do I do this on my computer screen? There's no buttons for me to press. How do you do that? So I couldn't figure it out. But yeah, so Senor Benjamin, Senor Benjamin comes out, gives him a paper, scribbles on the guy's hand, and walks off. We had dragon music, you know, like dragon, like graphics and stuff. I have no idea who he is. I will try to find out. But so we get no match. No match happens. Candice LeRae beats Toni Storm. Gotta love that 50-50 booking. Beats Toni Storm. Match was fine. You know, it was very, very even until the very end. And basically, Candice LeRae tripped Toni Storm and she hit the turnbuckle. And then Candice LeRae rolls her up for the pin. After the match is over, Toni Storm is being attacked by both Candice LeRae and the, you know, the Scream, you know, wearing the ghost outfit or whatever. Now, we knew from the storylines with the TV and everything else that it was going to be Indy Hartwell. And the ghost this time has got beautiful white painted nails. So obviously it's a she. I mean, Halloween Havoc, you saw the bazoombas. You saw the bazoombas sticking out when she got involved. So I don't know what the secret was, but Shotzi Blackheart tries to make the save. She gets beat up as well. And then Ghost Girl takes the mask off and reveals that it's Indy Hartwell. So we'll probably get next week Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae versus Shotzi Blackheart and Toni Storm. You could see that a mile away. In fact, there's another match I think we'll probably get next week too. And honestly, I don't know if I really want to see it either. But Breezango cuts a promo. You're not going to see Fun Breezango tonight, which I thought was a mistake because Fun Breezango is who won the tag titles. Timothy Thatcher beats Dexter Lumis. A long match, a fun match. But we got, once again, interference from Cameron Grimes. This time around, Cameron Grimes actually interferes and shoved Dexter Lumis Well, Timothy Thatcher shoved Dexter Lumis into Cameron Grimes, and then that threw Dexter Lumis off, and Timothy Thatcher gets the win, gets a roll-up win, kind of a cheap win. After the match is over, Cameron Grimes is beating up Dexter Lumis, puts a burlap sack over his head. Now, they weren't doing a suffocation storyline. I immediately saw on social media, oh my God, that's disgusting, that's terrible. They put a bag over his head, he can't breathe. No, it was a fucking burlap bag. If you don't know what a burlap bag is, it is full of tiny little holes you could breathe, but supposed to kind of block off your eyesight a little bit. But Cameron Grimes, you know, gets the upper hand. Obviously, Dexter Lumis could see. Because when Cameron Grimes sent him up on the chair and then did his move, you saw Dexter Lumis moving right before it happened. But what ends up happening after all of this is Cameron Grimes is no longer afraid of ghosts, is no longer afraid of zombies. Oh my God, Benjamin, go and do a search. Just look up Dexter Lumis burlap bag on Twitter later on tonight and look at some of the responses. It's people don't, yeah. But then again, how many of you out there ever had a burlap bag? I don't think I ever had a burlap bag. Why would I have a burlap bag? What do you fill it up with? Burlap? You know what I mean? Like, you know, we know what it is, obviously, but I've never need to own one. So I understand why some people may not know what it is. You know, but really, why would I have a burlap bag? Imagine if I used that as a jit gel. I mean, it would be like a bad cartoon. It would look like a waterfall. It would just like seep out through all the holes. It would be just look like, oh, sorry for being a little disgusting. So anyway, before that, Johnny Gargano is talking to William Regal. He says he calmed down and he wants the results reversed. William Regal says he can't do that. Gargano insists that everything with the match was a joke. It was a goof. William Regal said that the decision stands. Leon Ruff is an NXT North American champion. Gargano pissed off. So again, I don't know how long his reign is going to be, but it was an unexpected, fun, you know, moment tonight. I don't think anybody should be pissed off at that or even make fun of it. Tommaso Ciampa, backstage segment by himself with a camera, reminiscing about his career in wrestling. I think it spans about 16 years. He talks about, you know, being in the business. He remembers Harley Race, Killer Kowalski training him. He says now everybody thinks that they're tough. He says, because I wrote my notes, I'm looking at it. He says, the world these days, you complain and you get what you want. He says, you complain and you get rewarded. Actions without consequences. He calls himself old school and maybe the last of a dying breed. But he told everyone 2 weeks ago that the 2020 locker room culture is going to change and he's going to be one changing it. So he's putting everybody on notice. I like it. I like it. It's actually a decent storyline. He's a veteran. He is old school in a lot of ways. I just have to think, like, who's he going to feud with? So I'm wondering if we end up having a tournament, like I said before, because something's got to change with the Finn Balor situation. Even if you do a tournament for the next number one contender, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did do that, but is Balor really, you know, part of that culture, you know, complaining, get rewarded? I don't think so. So I have to really think about this a little bit to see who he could actually, who could actually fit that role. Ken thought he looked like an Oriental James Mitchell. That's not bad. To me, he looked like Senor Benjamin. Seriously. I thought he looked like Senor Benjamin. But yeah, no, that's not a bad one either. Not a bad one. So now we get a primetime segment talking about the rivalry between Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley that is building. They're actually going to have their match next week, which is a little surprising. I think if it's non-title, I think Rhea Ripley will probably take it. If it is title, then I think you'll see some type of a BS finish. and maybe that sets up for pay-per-view. I would be absolutely, absolutely shocked if Io Shirai lost the belt to Rhea Ripley next week. But that match is happening next week. Next week, Finn Balor will be appearing, giving an update. It's about time. Like I said, it'll be 6 weeks already. And finally, we had first Pat McAfee, Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan came out. And he talked about getting text messages from Tom Brady and others. And, you know, just trying to get a lot of heel heat. This was very quick, very short, and it was fine. He was on the announcer's table doing commentary during the match. But pretty much, you knew what the outcome was. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch retain the NXT tag titles, beating Breezango. At one point, Drake Maverick comes out. Because Killian Dane got laid out last week and Drake Maverick gets the balls beat out of him. You had Burch and Lorcan, you know, defeat Breezango. After the match is over, they're just beating the crap out of Breezango and Drake Maverick. And you could see it a mile away. Probably next week it'll be Lorcan, Burch, and Dunn versus Breezango and Drake Maverick. That's what it feels like. You know, I'm not complaining about it, but, you know, Pat McAfee is a great manager so far for Lorcan and Burch, but I'm still not into Lorcan and Burch matches. Pete Dunne, I like. So it'd be cool to see Pete Dunne back in the ring once again. But, you know, the Undisputed Era, they can't be off of TV that long. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Undisputed Era shows up next week and maybe they cause some type of interference or distraction. But you know, it was an okay NXT, but nothing stood out really. I mean, did anything really feel like must-see TV? The Leon Ruff thing was unexpected, but at the end of the day, that match selection was not very strong. I'm sorry to say it, but that's just my feeling. Now, as far as ratings for this week, I tell you, man, even though we're off the Full Gear pay-per-view and, you know, the election coverage is just a snippet compared to what it was a week ago, I can't see NXT popping any type of rating whatsoever. So I think NXT this week is going to do maybe under 600. Under 600 is kind of rough. Leon Ruff. I would say NXT probably, wow, I'm going to really undercut them this time. I'm going to say NXT is right around the 600,000 mark. And the only reason why I'm not going under 6 is because there really wasn't much stiff competition this week other than AEW. So I'm going to say 609 for NXT. And for AEW also was not as strong as what I thought it would be. Some of those matches definitely did not keep their viewers. So if I'm saying 609 for NXT, I can't see how wrestling went over 1.4 million this week. So I'm going to say AEW did 783. I'll go with 783 for AEW and 609 for NXT. A pretty disappointing week, in my opinion, overall for wrestling. I know my numbers are probably going to be a little bit too low, but nobody's popping a great ratings. I'd be shocked if AEW did over 850,000 viewers. I would be, and I got news for you. For those out there that like the in-ring action more than the wrestling, you better be concerned if AEW pops a great rating this week. Because again, you look at the match selection and by after the first hour, there was only two matches. So I'd be a little concerned because if AEW starts realizing that the skits and the segments are drawing great numbers, you'll see that continue and maybe more than before. So anyway, everyone, I am exactly at the 2-hour mark. I always vowed now that I would always stay 2 hours or less. So yeah, I mean, you know, we're at the 2-hour mark, but I'm fine with this. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Before you go, if you enjoyed the show, I'd appreciate it if you gave it a thumbs up or a like. It helps me get a little bit more exposure on YouTube. If you didn't like the show, give it a thumbs down. If you're not a member, a subscriber yet, it costs nothing. You subscribe, you'll be alerted when I have other shows come up, especially when we start pre-recording shows. Remember, the Q&A is up still. I only posted the video 2 days ago. It feels like a week ago, but it was only 2 days ago. So by the magic of technology, when I go like this, you're going to see a banner pop up on the archive of the Q&A. Just click that link. If you have any questions you want me to answer, I will do that Q&A 2 weeks from this past Monday. So a week from this Monday. And don't forget, I'll be back here on Friday for the Don Tony Show. We'll review SmackDown. We'll do the quarter hour ratings for AEW and NXT. We'll see what kind of numbers they get this week. I'll get into some other news as well. For all of you MLW fans out there, MLW returns to television next week. As you could see, Fubo Sports, YouTube has it, is going to air November 18th, which is next Wednesday, 7 p.m. If you remember, not too long ago, we had a conversation about MLW airing an hour before AEW. And, you know, this kind of has a little bit of a vibe of Ring of Honor and Impact when they were almost back-to-back on TV as well. But, yeah, check it out. You know, if you're a fan of MLW, you know, next week, I guess the main event is going to be Myron Reed versus Brian Pillman Jr., which, you know, it's not a bad match. So MLW makes their return. I say it again, NWA, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And by the way, can I say one last thing before I go? You know, at Full Gear, you had Thunder Rosa get in the face of Serena Deeb. I understand that's the NWA championship. But if you're going to do that stare down and confrontation at the pay-per-view, why no follow-up today? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, it's just, it was as if it never happened. So, I don't know. NWA still around, but I am concerned. I am concerned. You know, I like the relationship that AEW is having with NWA a little bit, but Tony Khan's got to be really careful, because Tony Khan, in an interview, I think, with TSN today or yesterday, when he talked about New Japan, he said that he felt that it was very one-sided, that he had AEW wrestlers work for New Japan, but he didn't see any New Japan stars coming to AEW. Yes, we're in the middle of COVID, obviously, but the point is that if Tony Khan is saying, like, yeah, we can have a relationship, but we need some Japanese wrestlers to come here as well. Well, remember that when NWA, they start returning to shows, like, hey, Tony, not for nothing, all the NWA stuff we did on your shows, send a couple of your wrestlers to our shows. So you'll probably see a little bit of back and forth there. So, but anyway, Mortalica, I'll make a Matarazzo emoji. I don't know how, because spelling it out would be too long, but maybe we'll make an M, like the Retribution thing, and something underneath. But I have a couple of emojis already with my face on it. But yeah, I'll come up with something. I don't mind, you know. But everyone, thank you for tuning in. Keep spreading the word of these shows. And as I said before, if you enjoyed tonight's episode, give it a thumbs up. And I'll be back Friday for the Don Tony Show. Sunday, I'll probably do a Q&A on Patreon. And then I'll be right back Monday with Mish. Mish will have his camera all fixed. We had a pretty interesting Monday. It got a little creepy at times, because all you saw was the same still shot of Mish throughout the whole episode. But it was a good episode. Good episode. So, great times. And I thank you all for the support. So, I am out of here, everyone. Have a great night. Stay safe. Be careful out there. And I'll catch you all Friday, 10:05 p.m. Eastern, right after SmackDown. So much love. I'll talk to you soon. Ciao.